This is Coach Tim Brown of Be a Baller Podcast. I'm excited today to have with me a good friend, Bill Montgomery. Bill is now currently President and CEO of The River in Columbus, Ohio, radio station 104.9. And today, Bill's going to share his story about how he got involved in the radio business and just continue to build that legacy at The River. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here.
Yeah, you know, I know you're a Columbus area guy. You are a proud graduate of Brookhaven High School. You know,
can you The Haven, yes,
that,
sir.
That rich legacy in sports at The Haven.
Oh, it's been so good. I grew up in the neighborhoods right around there, and it's funny because I've had family that went there. My mom, some of my aunts, uncles graduated from there. You know, when I was there, you know, we had a lot of, you know, people like Paul O'Neill that ended up playing for the Reds and the Yankees had gone to school there. We were big in like state championships in foot or not state, but city in football and baseball. Anthony Thornton, who's back, I think, coaching in the city league. Jeff Ward and stuff. In fact, Jim Jackson beat our team going to the state when he was playing for Toledo back in the day. So, yeah, great tradition of sports there at Brookhaven.
Yeah, I have to ask you this question. You know, you're exposed to all these traditional sports.
Yes.
And your son gets involved in fencing. Now, how did that happen?
That's a great question. You know, it's funny. He grew up playing baseball and football, my son Jaden. Yeah. But they got exposed in middle school to a fencing program that existed for a very brief time at Genoa at their Christian school. So they kind of pursued that, and he ended up walking on at Ohio State and fenced at Ohio State, made it all the way up to co-captain of the team and had a really good time. But yeah, that is not the traditional sports you see at Brookhaven.
Right. So you enjoyed the matches. Did you figure out the scoring and all that?
Barely. I love watching it. I've watched a ton of fencing. You got to have a really quick eye to figure all that out. I'm not great at it at all. Right. But it's fun to watch. I watch it on the Olympics now, and Ohio State has a great fencing program and tradition. Wow. Their coach, Don Anthony, right now is tremendous. He's got Olympians from other countries on his team, and they do really, really well.
Hey there, Clark Kellogg here. Building a legacy usually involves meeting the unique needs of others and being part of something bigger than yourself. That's why I love First Merchants Bank. First Merchants believes that helping communities prosper means more than just providing banking services. It means offering accessible financial education, expanded access to homeownership, and partnerships with local nonprofits to help raise up neighborhoods and lift families out of financial hardship. For resources and tools available to you, visit www.firstmerchants.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I know your broadcasting career goes way back to radio at Cedarville University as a student, where you worked for the student radio station and for CDR Radio Network. What was inspiration that got you involved in broadcasting radio?
You know, it's interesting. I went to Cedarville to be a biology major. I was going to go pre-physical therapy. And I tell you what, Cedarville is very academically rigorous. Mm-hmm. And when I got into the program, I just wasn't quite ready. And I didn't have the greatest study habits, which I've tried to rectify and tried to instill better into my kids. But I remember realizing, I think I want to change majors, and they were just launching the new student station at that time. And I don't even remember how I heard that, but I went up and they let me sit on the floor in the corner in their new studios, probably a room smaller than what we're in right now. And I watched them broadcast, just, you know, play records and CDs do it, and I was hooked. I said, this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
And that was really the beginning, and I've really never left that path since then.
During that time, was it chapel every day?
Yes. Cedarville had chapel every day. Yeah. In fact, not only did I work for the student radio station, I worked for the college radio station that broadcast the chapels every day. Yeah. I worked for their audiovisual department that did sound all over campus. Okay. And so I kind of did everything in the sound and broadcasting field during my time at Cedarville.
Right. Who were some of those? I know they always had some powerful preachers that come through the chapel. Can you remember some of those guys?
Yeah. Back then, the college president, Dr. Dixon, was tremendous. Wow. He spoke almost every Monday. Mm-hmm. But they had some amazing people that came through. I think of Bruce Wilkinson, who has written many, many books. Yeah. He president of some different organizations. He was Tremendous. He wrote the prayer Jabez, which was really powerful. Yeah. He kind of had one of his early messages about that before he had written the book that he spoke about there. I think Dr. Tony Evans came in and spoke while I was there. Newt Larson, who was at the chapel in Akron for many years, came and spoke. We had just a great who's who of pastors that came in and spoke.
Yeah, one of my favorites is Dr. David Jeremiah.
Oh yes, man. Absolutely. he could speak for sure.
Oh yeah, he's great. You know, talk about how this thing has gone full circle from being a student. Recently, you're a professor at Cedarville.
Yes, probably 10, 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was talking with one of the broadcasting professors there, Jim Leitenheimer, who was my professor and has just in a tremendous legacy of those that he's mentored and been the professor of that are now in literally all over the world doing broadcast and other ministry. And I just said, hey, out of curiosity, what's it take to maybe be an adjunct professor on campus? And that conversation, almost 6 months later, I was teaching. Yeah. I just accidentally asked the question at the right time. Yeah. And they had an opening come up. And so I teach a broadcasting sales class and a broadcasting management class now, one semester. Each semester when they need that twice a year. So it's a lot of fun to go back now and work with students and mentor them and help see them on their journey. And I've been doing that for about 10 years now.
Wow. So how's it like now? You stand up in front instead of being in those seats. You know, a little different.
Is a little different for sure. Yeah, you know, you recognize, you know, you were sometimes the person cutting up a little bit you know, being a little goofy in class, and now you see it from the students. You're like, well, I guess I was a little bit like that. I got to give them some grace.
Yeah, oh yeah, you know, as I know you're a strong man of faith. You know, can you talk about your faith journey and how you came to know the Lord?
Absolutely. I was born in Columbus, and just a couple years after I was born, my dad felt a call into ministry. He had been in the Army, he had gone to Vietnam, came back, got married, and my sister was born, and I was born. And so when he felt that call into ministry, he moved us to Chicago so he could go to Moody Bible Institute. Yeah. And so during those few years at Moody, I remember going, you know, we were very involved in a church there and vacation Bible school, and was one of those kids that just kind of came to faith at a very young age for what little I understood it. Mm-hmm. Came to know the Lord then, and just really was discipled and mentored not only by my parents, but you know, things like Awana programs and other youth groups and things of that nature, and then just watched the faithfulness of my parents there as well.
That's good. Can you tell the audience about the importance, or can you speak to the importance of Bible studies, men's Bible studies, men groups, and how important that are in our walk?
Oh, absolutely. I remember probably as early as middle school, one of the pastors before we moved back to Columbus got us involved in a thing at Moody where they were doing some Bible studies, and we would go there and listen and learn about discipleship, and I would go to some of their Founders Week things, which they still do today. It's kind of like their Bible conference, and you're sitting listening to, you know, the who's who of preachers like Howard Hendricks and Tony Evans and so many great speakers, Erwin Lutzer, who was the pastor of Moody Church. And that just continued through youth ministry and beyond, to the point, you know, I would be in Friday morning men's Bible studies with my dad and with other men in the church for years, and just going through a book of the Bible. Hey, we're just going to study Romans. We're going to study, you know, First Timothy. Yeah. You know, we're going to do that. And to the point where I got into youth ministry and I was leading those Bible studies for some of those young men. There was a brief period of time I even left radio and was a men's pastor and started men's discipleship ministry, both one-on-one mentoring and small group, because it's just, to me, that's what's transformational in men's lives, is just digging into God's word and then getting with other men and discussing that and kind of that iron sharpening iron that you know so much about doing that.
That's awesome. I know you've been involved in some parachurch ministries as well, and one in particular, and I'm involved with FCA as well, on staff with FCA. Can you talk about the FCA experience, why you got involved, and the impact that you...
Oh, yeah. I can't even remember when I first got involved at FCA, and it's funny. We had FCA in my high school at Brookhaven, and I I was not involved in, and I looked at it from a distance. And a lot of it was I was involved in some other things. Right. I was involved in my church, and I just didn't know a lot about it. But I knew it was there. It had a presence, and that was that was always encouraging. I remember hearing about some folks involved in FCS. I'd like to learn more, and kind of got involved in just volunteering and some of the things, and got to know you at that time, and just really saw how in the public schools especially, the gospel can be presented and you can disciple people through the ministry of FCA through sports, and the schools welcomed it. And I said, man, our kids need to know the word, and if they're not getting it from somewhere else, and if we can get to them in the public school, and I was just taken by that. And so I said, I want to do whatever I can to support this, and whether it's, you know, help with fundraising events or, you know, other things. And we've had a long journey together in that. Yeah. But I love how it is involved in public schools and Christian schools and college campuses, and just how it touches the lives of kids and gives them exposure to the gospel.
Yeah. I remember when you, early on when I was involved, when I first started with FCA, you were involved, and then you disappeared on me. You disappeared on me, you know, because you have a unique career. And you started in Columbus, and then you went to Pacific Northwest, out to Seattle area, and now back in Columbus. Can you talk about your experiences in the business?
For sure, yeah. When I first got into radio in Columbus, I worked for another station here in town that's still here and doing great work, WRFD, a Christian talk station, and I started in sales and worked my way up into sales management, and did that for about a decade.
Right.
Then was able to use that to go to a sister station they had out in Seattle, a group of stations, and it's funny because I met the FCA folks out there and got involved a little bit with them, doing great work in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, FCA is doing great work all over the world. And so I worked there and in Seattle, really loved that. Left the business for a couple of years, went on staff at my church out there, and did children's ministry and men's ministry and a little bit of marriage ministry as well, with a lot of teaching and discipleship groups and mentoring groups. And then after being out there about 5 years, I got a call to come back to Columbus from a guy that I had been in college with that was at the River. And he said, hey, we need a sales manager here back at the River in Columbus. And I said, oh, I don't know. I'm having a good time out here. I said, well, I'll come out and check it out. And I came back and I realized Seattle's a long way away from Columbus. All my family and my wife's family is in Ohio. And I had four. I'd left with three kids, now had four. I realized if they're going to know their family, if they're going to, you know, it's going to be back here. And not that it's wrong to grow up apart from them, but, when you've got a good family like that. And so really felt like the Lord was calling us back to Central Ohio. I've been back here for about 50.
Important family is that family connection.
Absolutely. I come from a big family. My wife laughs because my dad is one of nine kids and my mom is one of five, but I think I have 35 first cousins on my dad's side.
I met him.
Run into them. This studio we're at Worthington Christian, you know, I've had a number of those cousins that have come to school here, and I've had uncles that have coached here and family that have worked here. And so it's amazing because they're all over this city. But even in my own life, just, you know, my parents and their faithfulness to God in so many situations, and that has just been a model to me. Family is just, you know, so important. It's a link to faith. It's people to lean on. And sometimes it's your blood relatives, and sometimes it's your spiritual family. That's one thing I've seen, that in the family of God, you develop relationships with others that are just as close, and you treat them just like family as well. But yeah, family is just something that it's really what drew me back here, just to be around them and to have my kids grow up around their family and their extended family as well.
This is Bill, this is a podcast about legacy. When you hear that word, what does legacy mean to you?
It's such an important word because, you know, it reminds me of things like my grandfather who has passed away, my dad's dad. And he was called by so many people in Columbus coach because he had started some youth sports leagues, baseball, football. He was the coach in the neighborhood. He was the coach in the community. He worked in, I think, at Ohio State in the HVAC world, but he came out and, you know, coached all his boys, coached all the kids in the neighborhood, started leagues. And I saw that legacy. And also he loved Jesus and made sure that his kids were in church. And so I look at that legacy and then, you know, kind of followed up with the legacy of my dad, with the legacy of my mom's my mom's father. And he's since passed away. But, you know, both those men were in World War II. And then yet came back, were faithful husbands, were faithful fathers, were faithful men in the church. And I had the privilege of having that modeled for me. And I know a lot of people don't get that kind of thing. And so you've got to almost start your own legacy from where God calls you from. And it might be three generations and it might be you starting the first generation. It really doesn't matter as long as you answer that call that God has for you. But I've just always been challenged. And even, you know, remembering from my dad, you know, when you do something you're not supposed to or represent them poorly or, you know, get that call home from a teacher. Right, and it's like, hey, you have my name.
Come on. That's it.
and this is, we don't behave this way.
Right.
And I kind of just, that has guided me of just sometimes the fear of that, you know, but then I think of once we're called by God and Jesus, you know, puts his stamp on us, he's saying the same thing. Hey, you have my name, you know, you're an heir and this is how you need to behave now. And that really then helps you create that legacy of how you need to behave and how you need to encourage others, you know, coming behind you, whether it's your children, whether it's those that you're working with or mentoring. And you've got to carry that name because that's going to reflect on not only your family name, but the name of Christ.
Well, you in here preaching. We might as well pass the plate. You got the preacher coming out in you, you know. That pastor coming out in you in here. No, that's good stuff.
The team at the Financial Solutions Network is proud to partner with Tim Brown and bring you this episode of Be a Baller. Our mission is to share generously of our time, talent, and financial resources to help our clients develop financial plans and wealth management strategies that allow them to live the lives they imagine, while connecting them with experiences and people that enhance their quality of life. FCA is one of those organizations by helping young men and women through the development of their personal faith. The Financial Solutions Network is an independently owned and managed wealth advisory firm based in Worthington, Ohio. We are a multi-generational professional team of advisors with a combined 83 years of experience teaching and managing financial strategies for individuals, families, businesses, and institutions. We would be honored to help you plan your financial journey. Contact us at 614-505-3025 or visit our website at tfsn.net.
After 20 years of faithful service, President and CEO Dan Balkman handed off the baton to you.
Yes.
You know, talk about your experience and how you're helping to continue that legacy at the River.
Absolutely. Dan was such a good mentor to me. I remember coming in 15 years ago, and he had been there at the helm for about 5 years, 6 years. And he had been serving behind the scenes long before he was the president, you know, on their board and doing other things as he worked in another industry. And I just really saw the faithfulness, the sacrifices that he had made, and the passion and the commitment. And so it went from, here's this new relationship that formed when I first came, and I didn't know if I could trust him and what it was about, to he ended up being the person that I worked for the longest. You know, where I, you know, the longest job I had was 10 years before that. And so I worked with him and for him for about 14 years. And so that really just imprinted on me a number of things of just faithfulness, trusting God, you know, taking care of people. That was so important to him is just taking care of the people that worked for him, being involved in the community, partnering wherever God had you to partner. And so I'm so thankful for him. And we still get to talk to one another. He's available anytime, day or night. I need to call him about anything. He's still serving as a chaplain in our ministry. Just so thankful for him and his years of faithful service at the River.
That's awesome. Can you talk about the importance of Christian radio?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. It's been funny to me, even before this meeting, talking with somebody that how the radio station that I'm at impacted them 30 years ago, you know, 40 years ago, just the programs that were on. And then people still remember that. And, and you know, hopefully all of us are in church. you know, regularly. Yeah. And certainly we are encouraged and invited to do that in the scripture. But the reality of it is, you know, that's only so many hours a week. And a lot of time Christian radio is that thing with you when you're on your commute. Maybe when you're, you know, at home by yourself, right. You might be listening to preaching programs, teaching programs, talk programs. You might be listening to music. It's just, again, a lot of the Christian music, and I love a lot of what it is today. It's a lot of praise and worship. It's a lot of singing the Word of God back to us, and it just it helps us to meditate and to chew on that Word over and over. And we hear so often from people. From things like I've been going through a hard time. Maybe I've lost a loved one, and the river has been here to carry me through. I'm going through a health crisis or cancer treatments, and the river is that encouragement to me. Both the songs and the DJs that are there. We've had people literally that have talked about, I was going to take my life, and I turned on the radio, and your station came on, and I have no idea why, And they gave a phone number, and I called, and the person on there encouraged me and ministered to me. And I'm thinking, we didn't orchestrate that. Right. God orchestrated that. We have chaplains at the radio station that call people that leave prayer requests or call people that donate to the radio station. And the number of people that said, I needed that phone call today in this hour because of something I was going through. And we have nothing to do with that other than, you know, God's given us a mission. And so we were just, you know, those chaplains were just faithful to pick up the phone, and you see God use that. And so Christian radio is just today as vital as it has ever been in ministering to people. And sadly, you know, there's a lot of people that don't even have a church home. Maybe they don't feel they're worthy to go to a church, or maybe church hurt them at one time and they just haven't been able to come back. And so while we want to partner with the local church, sometimes they're in between times using us as that local church and that thing to just encourage them in their spiritual walk.
That's great. You know, I was as you were sharing, the Lord just dropped in my spirit as we're sitting here talking. There's somebody listening to us right now who needs to hear a message of hope. And I was wondering, Bill, can you share a message of hope? I know that's what the river's all about, is giving hope every day to his listener listening on. There's a listening audience on this podcast today. Can you share a message of hope?
Absolutely. It's interesting that if you're listening to this and you need hope, it's no accident that you're listening to this right now. God knew you'd be listening. God knew that you needed to hear this. And the reality of it is, the only hope that any of us has is the hope that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm reminded that Jesus is not looking for perfect people that have it all together. He's just looking for people that recognize that they're broken and that they aren't in charge of their life, and they need somebody that can run their life and be at the center of their life. And he's just there waiting and asking and knocking and saying, if you'll just give me permission, I'm going to love you like no one's ever loved you. I'm going to give you hope like you've never had. I'm going to give you joy. It's kind of like you may or may not have heard the story of the woman at the well that Jesus found when she's coming to the well at a time when nobody else did, and she felt unloved and unwanted. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you water to drink, and you'll never be thirsty again. And that's the kind of hope that Jesus has. If you will just talk to him and say, hey, I don't have hope. I need hope. I need you. And I'm a sinner. But you can give me hope. You can give me a solution to the emptiness that I feel inside. And all we've got to do is surrender our lives to him, and he's going to come in and give that hope.
Amen. Well, Bill, I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for being a source of inspiration for decades here in Columbus. And we're glad you're back this way. And lastly, I want to thank you for that message of hope. Because I really believe that was for someone today. So as always, this is Coach Tim Brown. I want to thank the audience for listening to Be a Baller podcast. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Tim.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share this podcast with family and friends. Be a Baller podcast is available on all major podcast stations. Be sure to come back next week as we continue to discuss on how to build a lifelong legacy. Until then, don't forget to be a baller. This podcast was created by Coach Tim Brown. It was edited by Tehran Howe and produced and recorded by the video production class of Worthington Christian High School.